Oh, bad state park, yeah.
No, okay.
Yeah, up on the bluff, that campground.
Yeah.
Linear long, yeah, campground.
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna go ahead and get started with our joint city council planning and commission work session. The goal today is to have some healthy discussion and receive a report from the planning commission on the South Main Street Corridor Public Space Plan. And we hope to keep 5 minutes or 10 minutes available for a report on the constrained lands discussion as well. I'm not sure what the report offers to.
Okay, just a quick heads up on unexpected vote.
All right, so what I'd like to do is turn it over to Chairman Hershey for a few minutes to kind of give us some background on the planning commission's deliberations. There was certainly a lot of material. I can't remember the last time you had a pack of this thick, but you folks on the planning commission have been doing a tremendous amount of work for the past few months, and we certainly appreciate that. Sincerely.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll just briefly set the stage here. Most of you are aware of what's transpired over the last year. This process started back in September 2015, or when we initially considered this plan, and by we, I mean basically everyone. I think everyone was involved in sending this to the Planning Commission for our startup, and we took a look at the existing ordinance. We came up with some considerations, some propositions, proposals, and made a recommendation to the City Council back in October. At that point, the Council did proceed to review our proposal. They invited in some experts to provide some additional information. We appreciated the work that was done by the City Council on that, and they came back through that process with some specific recommendations and direction for the Planning Commission to consider certain portions of the plan. And so we undertook that process earlier this year, and in February, and we undertook a fairly detailed study at that point, recognizing that there were some open issues, some open concerns that were raised by the City Council, very legitimate concerns, specifically liability issues, site issues, really what are we trying to accomplish here from the standpoint of some of the street designs that we were proposing. And so we wanted to, as a commission, get a lot more information so that we could make reasoned decisions. So the very first thing we did was we gathered information that had been from the City Council by the landscape architect. We didn't have that available to us when we made our initial proposal, so that was very helpful. We also wanted to investigate other options for planter boxes and landscaping, some alternative designs, so we got some additional information on that. We wanted to talk to the police and others about the public safety concerns. We contacted the police chief and asked that he provide us with some of his concerns generally about things that we might do along Main Street and what safety concerns he might have. We also asked the city attorney to provide us with a memorandum of law concerning the liability issues. And what we should really be concerned about and what we shouldn't be concerned about in that respect. We also started questioning some of the things that we were being told by staff, no offense, Corey, about what UDOT might or might not allow us to do along our Main Street because it is the Utah corridor. So we were interested in finding out from UDOT and also the Wasatch Front Regional Council, who has developed their what they call the active transportation corridor concept, what could be done, maybe what should be done along the corridor, and then plan for the future to determine what may be become a nicer corridor, a better served corridor, if you will, to achieve that active transportation recommendation. Our primary focus here was creating a more walkable Main Street. We received through our public hearing process comments that, well, nobody really uses it, so why are we taking the trouble to consider doing things? And yet, we also hear from a lot of citizens that say, yes, we do use it, and if it were nicer, we'd use it more. And so we had to weigh those concerns, and specifically, we looked at things as human scale, integrability, and complexity to create that more walkable environment. Now, those things were explained to us a bit more by the Wasatch Council, and we had them in to a meeting along with the Trail Committee and UDOT to present what can be on the street. What we found surprising, I think all of us were somewhat honestly, was that the representative for UDOT who came had looked at our plan and basically said, with a few tweaks, we could make this work. And basically what was discussed with UDOT was we could modify lane size in the highway, we could provide for bike trails, we can have cityscape furniture in the park strip areas and other areas, as long as it meets certain criteria. And so, as a commission, we made an effort to try to refine our design and our recommendations such that we could achieve that human scale, the immutability, and the complexity without undue liability to the city, without undue maintenance expense to the city, and still meet the requirements of UDOT. In short, making it a more active transportation corridor for the city. We had several public hearings. We actually kept our public hearing open for several of our meetings. We had people show up, virtually all of them took comments. We received many written comments, many of which are in the packet that you'll have an opportunity to review. And by and large, as long as we aren't dealing with exactly what uses will be there and what density be along Main Street, by and large, the comments we received as a planning commission were that people were generally in favor of doing something to spruce up our Main Street. As a commission, we debated this. At our last meeting, three proposed resolutions were presented, one by staff, one by Becky Wright, and one which we affectionately call Heyman Proposal, which was a
Heyman Report,
sorry, which we ultimately adopted, which was kind of a combination of the two, honestly, taking in Commissioner Wright's comments and analysis and putting it into a form which is more closely associated with what staff would typically present both to us and to the City Council. So that's where we're at. We have members of the commission who feel pretty strongly on both sides. This recommendation passed by a 5-2 vote, I believe, last Wednesday night. And the commissioners are here to tell you why they voted for it or against it and maybe explain a little bit more of the rationale. And with that foundation, I'd like to turn it over to any of the other commissioners who'd like to add their thoughts as to our process.
Great. I'd love to hear from the commissioners on the process, and then I'd like to go over again what's in the Heyman Report and why they needed to vote in favor of it, why they voted in favor of those who were opposed, what did you oppose about it, and then have some more questions in the process. Any comments on the process?
I think they covered pretty well. I don't know which person is most qualified to deliver an opinion for them.
I'd like to hear from Becky, honestly, because you spent a lot of time analyzing what we heard at the public hearings and on our work session, and pretty much put that down for us to work from as a commission. So it'd be great to hear from you.
All right. I really wanted to address the concerns that the recommendation from us before we make the ultimate decision. I thought it was really important that we looked at your concerns legitimately and vetted them and made sure that we had a thorough analysis of what you were concerned about. And so, as you'll see in the report that we gave to you, a lot of what we talked about and why it is so lengthy is so that we can have a whole conversation about liability, a whole conversation about maintenance, a whole conversation about what the purpose of the use is with you, and let you know that any of the concerns that you have from our analysis, at least that we received from staff and Trails Committee, UDOT, Wasatch Front, all of them, those concerns were minimal. And so we wanted to ease your concerns so that you could understand the benefits of why we should keep them, keep these specific items in the park strip, how it helps both the pedestrian and the vehicle in case any kind of liabilities. You could look further into the meeting minutes of the work session with UDOT and Wasatch Front because they both strongly recommended that those stay in the park strip. Just simply because when things are put on private land, that creates, first of all, a burden for the property owner. It creates sometimes uneven maintenance or putting stuff on and not putting stuff on and changing it, but it creates a more apparent main street. They also talked about a lot of the concerns about pedestrians getting hurt by these can actually be mitigated if we properly use regular materials, and that actually prevents further accident from a vehicle to a pedestrian. So these are some things that we were really, like was mentioned, a little bit surprised to hear, but pleased to hear because the goal of why we want to do this is because we feel that obviously that's an area that is walkable, but also could use some encouragement to be more walkable. And we feel that this plan will encourage walkability on there. That's what it is. I echo everything that Jen just said. One of the things that the Wasatch Front and Town Council member said was that what we're proposing is very similar to what they've done on the Union Street, but they're both breakaway elements. And their issue is very nice. And so we can, I guess, we can absolutely do something similar, but on our street.
Do you want to take a minute to talk about the, is there, to highlight any differences in terms of what the Planning Commission passed versus either what the City Council requested or the original thing that was passed, the original plan that was passed last fall? What did you find after further study that, you know, maybe could be refined?
I think the one major change from our earlier recommendation, we had the trees and the light poles on the park strip. I believe that our current recommendation is that the light poles, the decorative light poles would remain in the park strip. The trees could be moved back onto the private property. Mainly because it's not as much of a maintenance matter. It actually beautifies the property. It doesn't require upkeep from the property owners. But it can still create a nice space plan along the corridor. And so that is the one change. Otherwise, we'd still like to see street furniture, planter boxes. They may have to be rearranged a little bit to meet the concerns of the police. With regard to the site triangles at the intersections, they will certainly need to meet the criteria of UDOT for breakaway capability and safety in that regard. And one of the more important features of what we're recommending is creating a side strip, a stripe along the street, similar to what's been done north of Parrish, to create that
that space, if you will, to allow vehicles to know where they should be and bicyclists to know where they should be, and to create a bit of a space between the curb and the actual roadway.
That's the container modification.
It was interesting. We at our last meeting, we had two people speak when I opened it back up for public hearing. Both of them didn't speak directly about Main Street, other than to say we really like what happened north of Parrish because it's created some boundaries for us. We feel more safe, and we'd like to see that continue down Main Street. From my personal experience, and maybe you've had the same, along Main Street, you do have cars that pretty much want to use the entire space. Unfortunately, you also have bicyclists that like to use the entire space. And it's sometimes an interesting dance. It is. It's kind of an interesting dance to see who's going to take the right of way there. And I think creating that definition along Main Street may make a lot of sense. UDOT has indicated that they could go with smaller loans and still make it work and still make it safe. So that's part of the proposal as well.
Yeah, just so you know, the commission's motion is to, if you adopt it according to what they've recommended, you would have to first create the new graphic for the bike lanes. That has not been prepared. It's just recommending that you change that graphic for the bike lane addition.
Corey, as of yesterday, I was told by Kevin and Andy that they were recommending slightly different dimensions in the 11-11-11.
I think Randy and Kevin want to weigh in on that issue before you actually make a graphic change, but the commission has said this is kind of the idea and goal, and allow you to consult with some others to refine it before the illustrations are redrafted if you chose to go that direction.
The graphic here is basically the 11-11.
No, this is a request from the council member McKeon.
I guess we don't really have dimensions on here.
This is just to show the 18-foot, combined 18-foot behind the curb, and how that would fit within the existing development. Councilman McKeon asked if we could prepare that.
So I appreciate that. It really helps to visualize.
And it takes the nose off a few things if they were to be redeveloped.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be nice if we could zero in and see where the first 10 feet and then the next 8 feet. But right now the plan is still, the plan that you have recommending is symmetric.
Yes.
Correct.
Basically.
Which is similar.
That's correct.
We have a lot of discussion. Is it realistic to expect a symmetric plan or not?
Yeah, your current plan is symmetric, and the recommendation is just to leave it that way.
I just want to clarify, we've got the entire corridor, but the ordinance is just going
to be. The amendment would go from Paris to Pages for the bike lane.
For the bike lane, so on this, with the public space plan, that's just the
The current public space plan runs the traditional and city center districts. But the amendment that the commission forward to you would be amend the streetscape from Parrish to Pages to add the bike lane rather than just do the bike lane.
So clarify that again for me. So that the 18 foot.
All this green at the bottom, where there's red lights.
I have a question about the public space in a sense, overlaid on the downfield public center. Built a visual environment planning Main Street between Parrish Lane and Pages Lane.
Right, but if you go through the public space plan itself, you've only adopted the traditional city center public space. But the whole corridor, the plan covers that building.
I have a question on the bike lane issue. I do know that we discussed that as a council because it was time sensitive because UDOT was already scheduled to do that painting work. And the council approved having to go ahead and paint that as such. When was our schedule to finish that?
There may be, I think they're supposed to do south of Perry sometime still this year, and they may be waiting, I hope they're waiting for us to tell them.
They are, actually, I called because I know that the council wants to spend additional money to finish off the bike lanes. I have a little bit of concern that if we just do the stripe and not the bike lanes, that might confuse people. And so I actually went to some bike clubs myself to see if they wanted to fund some money, because one of the reasons why we think it's so important to the public space plan is that this is a prior bike lane for Davis County, for UDOT, for Wasatch Front. And I'm sure you know, we can see bicycles all the time on there. We have the Ford Utah coming out again through that area. It is and will continue to be a bike corridor. And so we can take steps to make that safer for our drivers and our bicyclists, or we can kind of just sort of let things happen. So I thought it would be good to start the discussion with bike clubs to see if they're willing to fund the money, because then it just helps them, right? And so I called Darren to see how much is that going to cost and how much would we need to finish that off, basically. And he said, he said he was talking to Steve, and that's why I called Steve and he's out of town and didn't really touch base, but he said he was waiting from Centerville to see if they can go ahead. And also he suggested that we wait on putting money into finishing off, because in the summer of 2018 it will be a complete redo. And he said, probably just do one strip, then do a complete review and put your money, get your bike club money or whatever, then that can last longer. So I kind of have, stopped.
That's something we need to be clear on. UDOT, that configuration of stripe is not permanent in UDOT's mind. Darren only did it as part of that paint project coming up as let's paint that shoulder line and then see what the response is like.
Yeah.
So even from UDOT's standpoint, that striping is not a fixed improvement.
Because it's so wide, which makes total sense while I was standing there looking at it. If you've got this much space, the bikers are going side by side right up to the lane. Or the walkers or the joggers, if you've got enough, they're taking up the thing. So we tried to stay between that line and our dotted line in the middle. And literally there was inches between us and the cars coming the other way. So I think CD's staff is probably come back and say it's a little bit too wide, and so it could be causing a head on or something.
Traveling too wide, too narrow, the shoulder width too wide.
Too high because, and I can see that because I walk and I ride my bike, and I'd probably take that the whole thing in my friends. So I could totally understand that, but as riding it, it was scary. If you tried to not get in that at all, and the traffic coming the other way, there it is. So when you drive that, look at it now, you've heard that, and stay out of the bike lane totally, and see how much traffic, how much room there is between you and the traffic. So people are going to be maybe a little less bike lane and a little more traffic.
And then they can get a semi.
Where were you driving?
Okay. So where it's true two lane. After the divider is.
And I didn't notice that as people have brought it to my attention, but you'll say, I do not get on the line, and I'm the driver that might interest. So anyway, notice that when you're driving. I was in a full sex defense.
And Brandy was driving.
Well, that was scary.
And I'll just let you know too, I bike quite a bit and have biked here for the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
and actually had felt safer by being just simply because there is that line. And every time that I ride, I feel really, really lucky. I feel like we have beautiful drivers in the area that they go way out, and I have like, you know, lots and lots of space before they're even getting close to me,
right.
Which I really appreciate because then I don't feel nervous at all. But I do think, because I bike that and I'm observing that, I think it's also just something that we're getting used to too. It's sort of like, wow, there's a line here, oh, I'm supposed to see. And that's not typically how Main Street has been. So I think part of it is also just the fact that it's a new line and we're trying to kind of get used to that.
But if you're riding in the south, it's different than if there's five of you riding in the
right. Cyclists. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But yeah. We push a line up there, we push it to the max.
I think that's really unsafe when bicyclists do that. And unfortunately,
we encourage
that. Yeah, and I don't want to encourage that. But unfortunately, I think if someone's going to ride five across, whether there's a line or not, they're going to do that. And that's going to be a problem. But we don't have to collide the line and they're actually going to be in the middle.
We also ought to consider that although UDOT is very nice in what we're doing, this is not a Center Road project. This is a South Bay Standard project. They've done the street climbing and helping the fruit heights. They're doing it. I believe that they did the north from Parrish to the north port is the same as. They didn't want to kind of put the state standard.
I learned that and thought how cool. This is so cool and it's so safe. And then I drove it with that different aspect. And I was like, wow, well, it is kind of cool.
When you let Randy tell you.
And so you got told us, they recommended, they said if we could go from 9 to 12 feet, and we're like, 9 feet, never, ever, ever would we want to even consider that. We went to 11 feet because we thought like that would take us. And I do think that in north of Parrish, that's a much wider bike lane than what would be here on this area, because it would be just a 4 to 5 and a half foot depending on the area. So we wouldn't run into the same kind of issues that we're worried about up in north. But they did say that there was a 9 to 12 foot sort of leeway, and we thought would be insane to even think of anything less than that. So we recommended 11 feet. I defer to UDOT, and they're not going to put a white stripe on the road that they don't feel is unsafe. So if UDOT feels comfortable with it, I feel comfortable with it as well.
One thing UDOT is very good at is collecting statistics. I'd love to see possibly what they say. Is there any appreciable reduction in accidents on 11 feet or 10 feet? Or is it anything that looks 11?
Right.
It's kind of arbitrary otherwise.
And also, when you experience that real life example, you do have a lot of hard work along that.
And you just find that when you have so many people turning and the car park, you just go down to navigate. So just like you're making a street for the vehicle, there's often cars parked on the side, and then you have two cars that are both kind of opposite direction, both just slow down, and you have to do that. And that's part of the...
But that was a huge interest.
But that's part of the data that shows that these narrow lanes are actually safer, is because this triggers people's brains to be more aware of the other way that they're slow down. They're unconscious of it, so...
Well, I'm also going to...
This illustrates the fact that I will need direction at some point as to what to tell you about regarding South Main Street and what they will do with it this year. So I'd like to understand what is the expected process and final authority on approving the striping for South Main. Let me give you some more context. I don't think they're going to change this year. They're not going to eliminate the center lane striping and adjust it this year. I mean, we'll always have a center lane, but they also do not want to wipe out the lanes that are there and reposition the center lane this year. That opportunity will come in 2 years when they resurface. But for this year, I think we have to assume we live with the center lane with where it is. So the question remains, how do we divide the remaining space on each side between a vehicle lane and a bike lane? What process do you want me to go through? Do you want me to involve the Trails Committee with a recommendation that comes up to one or both of these bodies? I don't want to be responsible for the final direction given to you, Dot, knowing about the diversity of opinion that's here.
So I guess the question is, do you want to take the lane width, whether it's 12 feet or 11 feet, separately from other parts of the revisiting the Main Street process?
Yeah, I think we need some data points. I really want to understand if you have a variable lane width, why? Is 9 feet, why is 9 feet worse than, or better or worse than 12? 12 makes the microphone more comfortable, creates less accidents. There's kind of some logic in how they develop this. I'd like to understand more from a data point perspective what that is. So I wouldn't want to make a, oh, sure, 11 sounds good, unless I understood what 11 will meant in terms of accidents or, you know, whatever data is available.
Yeah, and correct me wrong, Mr. Chair. I perceive from the commission that the bike lane is a feature of the public space plan. They heard the 11 foot from UDOT, but they're not opposed that you take some extra time to consult with Randy and Kevin and other bodies to figure out what that final illustrative dimension should be. But I think the commission's position is that they want the bike lane as part of the Main Street feature.
Currently, is the bike lane written into the Main Street plan?
It is not.
It's not. It is in the handbook.
And there is a bike lane, a proposed bike lane shown on the master plan that the council will be considering tonight, the general plan amendment that will adopt the trails and
The no width, just the concept.
Yeah, just the alignment, the roads that these are on.
Which I hope we can agree, Bountiful and Farmington, that's the route. We can pretend that it's not the route, but it's going to be a route that people are going to use. So
I'm just saying the planning commission, they may want to go in on the technical, but I don't think so. I think the commission is saying that's fine if it's 11, if it's 10, if it's 12, and still accommodate a bike lane. I think the commission just wants the bike lane to be a part of that plan, and then allow those who have the more expertise to decide the actual configuration and use.
Could I suggest then that we involve the chair of the Trails Committee and have them consult, they can get advice from various sources and recommend up to the City Council. I assume the City Council probably would like to put their blessing on it before it's restriped. Is that correct?
Yeah, they want to do it this meetup, want to do it this season, construction season?
Yeah, that's why I'm asking for this direction tonight.
I'm trying to circumvent having to go to the Planning Commission to add more time.
No respect. To the point that Corey made, There was actually a proposition, a motion made at the last planning commission meeting to leave it open and just recommend the bike lane rather than putting dimensions on it. And we elected to put the dimensions on it just because we thought it was important to have something concrete for the city council to consider. No magic in the amount, other than the fact that we had heard from UDOT that there was that range. We put a number on it.
And remind me if I'm correct, the new process of the regional council, he was pushing more for the 11-foot lane.
That's correct.
Because he has to be looking for the 5.5 foot. You get the 5.5, you go above 11, you get 5.5.
So our main street varies from 42 to 44 feet. And so they were saying with the frontage that you have, in order to achieve a 5.5 foot bike lane, which would allow for not just what we call mammals, men, middle-aged men, but also to create a feeling of safety for families if they wanted to bike, or school children or something. So they pushed the 5.5 foot lane, and then they did the whole configuration and said 11 foot because we have 9 to 12 foot range, and 11 foot is what they recommended. So that's what they told us.
And I would suggest that the idea of having it as part of the plan is really a good idea, especially for the 2018 community. But you thought you said for the entire process, for the idea of that is the opinion, do what you want to do in the plan and you will work.
Right, that's what they told us as well.
But I don't think we need to get too hung up on that kind of thing because it's a certain time. We want to get it just right so then we're completely done.
So I think what you're left with, practically speaking, you've got the center lane in place. You're not going to change that this year. They're not going to change that. How much space remains, and how do we divide it between the travel lane and the bike lane? I think if we maybe take this up with the Trails Committee and have them forward the recommendation to the council, it could happen pretty quickly.
Did I need to when they meet again around
later this month?
So can you give us some feedback, and then I guess it sounds like in Georgia, I think the best way to get answers to your questions is probably by going to come,
raise some questions,
and see if we can get any information, and ask him to come to the second meeting in August, or see if we can get that information together. Does that sound like a reasonable plan? They're saying somebody knows that, or there's an expert of record that wants to come.
Okay, so,
Tammy, I can't see your reaction, but that's just well.
Yeah, we did have a couple of people vote against this, and I think it's only fair that you hear from them tonight to know the reasoning behind that. So.
Yeah, I wanted to be called Johnson important.
That was the main objection.
No, I can vote for the first pass because I feel like the type of development our zoning permit is going to be an auto-centric type of development. And if we're going to continue to zone in ways that are not conducive to healthy walkability, I just didn't feel like I wanted to add an increased cost essentially to the property owner through development costs. And then because of that, I felt like my team will change necessarily when we come back. So that's what I wanted to see in this action. So it was a good match for all the building sites.
So as the other one was voting against it, I hear eventually heard kind of a lot of stuff that Logan said about it. Main Street is the main north-south road through the city. It is the way you get north and south in this is the main road, right? And it is primarily a transportation and an auto corridor for vehicles and stuff like that. Not that I don't want Main Street to look nice, and I think that Main Street could look nice, and there's some other things that you can do. So the other point I considered talking about was as we were going along, there was this, I don't know if this made it to the council or not, but this is kind of like another idea or something. And I thought, with some changes, this could be a good middle ground, and you could do some stuff and not put a lot of burden on the private property owner, trying to do some stuff to make Main Street look a little nicer as well.
And then the other thing is with, you know, a lot of the discussion was about walkability. Main Street Center, though, is great, but it is not Main Street Malibu. It will never be Main Street Malibu. And so one of the things that I had talked about before is, you know, other than kids going to and from the junior high, people walking aware of Main Street, and the short answer is no walkability. Maybe there might be the occasional bike that goes by, the occasional pedestrian that goes by, but if there are any businesses along there, you drive there, park there, and get out and drive away. And so to try and make it look like the Main Street Downhill is often is not really feasible or realistic. So part of my thought was that we should try and be a little bit more realistic in our approach, pick something a little more middle ground and
remind me of this middle ground here, because
it's Forrester in the Park.
So this one,
literally.
So what this plan entailed was to use a lot of what is existing elements, or try and do some, you know, stuff with existing poles and maybe put some little banner type things up and whatever else, and not go full on benches and planter boxes and all sorts of other potentially pretty expensive elements and do that. So do something.
So what about when, let me kind of challenge that a little bit. I shared some of those views, but challenge that a little bit. So when you have blocks redeveloped, why not improve what we have today? And as you said, it's not that great.
Well, it's not terrible, you know.
Well, but it's not, but many of us, you know, if I choose to run, I'll usually do it on 400 West because it's a nicer street to run on the main street.
Well, then on the sidewalk, have you been in the road on 400 West?
No.
Not yet,
we might have seen.
Is there spandex going
on across the street? I try to run on the sidewalk when I can.
I run on the street. I run on the street too. That's possible.
So to your point, and I share a lot of the same concerns, but I just want to point out for the benefit of those who have journaled the overpass. You look at the size of Jersey Barricade that's been put up to protect pedestrians on that road. That is a 35-mile-an-hour road. Now, keep in mind that they're anticipating double the speed. That's what the barriers are built for. I'm not a road engineer, but I've seen that before. And yeah, that's the double the impact speed of what you're actually expecting. So on a road that's 40 miles per hour is at speed, is increasing the walkability of a road that you can't secure or making safer a good idea? Just a basic question.
I think you're
also 25 miles per hour.
Pardon?
Down is 25 miles per hour.
It is. Farmington is 30 and 35, depending on where you're at, and 40. And I think you have to look 20 years down the road. That's like 20 years down the road, is this still going to be a 40 mile an hour road? Or you'll.
So the traffic down there will have to
raise the speed. It will not be that. Where
do you. Yes,
I read it, but
have you... Actually, my thoughts told me if they did a study on our road right now, the speed limit would go up. And that was the transportation community looking at.
I can't give any examples where they raised speed limit to 45 on a road by cars.
It
went down the downhill, it went down in Farmington. Yeah, they planned for it. But I think you have to think there's going to be more people here in 20 years. And what do we want to do to plan for?
So are we trying to attract them to Main Street or are we trying to attract them to Paris? To me, it's not the commercial center. It's not the cultural center. And so I have a hard time looking at what you've invested there for what purpose in the future. I mean, there's got to be a lot of involvement.
I think, you know, the council has expressed great support for our Whitaker Museum, and people walk to Whitaker Museum. We have City Hall right here. We have a Founders Park. We have a Zigwalk from the parking lot here. Okay, so what I'm saying is not what's happening right now. I'm just saying here what we have is a park, and we have our City Hall, and we have our museum, and we have a junior high that will not go away. Those are things that are going to be staying here, right?
So in order to accommodate the increased population size and specifically planning for the future, if we want people to be utilizing this area, why not allow that to be an area where they could walk to the park, where they could bike to the park, where they could go to the museum? We're going to always have pedestrian foot traffic because of these elements that are here. Now, it may not be that it is the retail center, and I don't think anyone on the planning commission is pushing that. That's not really what our goal is. You know, the way that business is done now, we have these big box places, and we're driving there, and that's, you know, that's just how it goes. But we can encourage a healthy living space for the residents, especially within the historic neighborhood, anyone that really wants to utilize the civic area. I mean, that's planning. That's us trying to look into the future and say, how do we want our citizens to enjoy our area?
So there's a chicken egg thing, and this is what I did. This is where my neighborhood friends are thinking about the neighborhood center of culture. And they tell me all the time, we want to, as a family, be able to write a recommended library or over to, whatever. And we want to use this, let's say, to come on neighborhoods and learn to use it with very lots of people. But thinking about this, it's a very residential district, right? And through our basic plan process, we talked about that, we should expect the answer to come. So with that in mind, to your point, talking about how they manage it, how they decide to use, we can control that when they're built physical space. Because what they do is they measure how fast people drive, and then they influence how fast people drive by the elements that we put along the road and how we just feel. And so there's no other way to change how they're going to pay the drivers until we change the built physical space. And it happens slowly over the years. It will make it more of a finding neighborhood safe community for all of my family members who are coming up in this. So that's always a nice answer, is to prohibit these traffic counselors and speed limits and let you not just say, we're going to up it, we're going to widen it, we're going to add lanes, we're going to make it a main freeway, right in the center of our town where we have tons and tons of homes. And so my goal is always to say, we should take control of the way we create a space, which then will influence what we want to
do. What I'm hearing is people don't want to slow the speed limit.
What?
If they do
slow the
speed
limit. You're
hearing
that from
the
drivers want to transit between Bountiful and Farmington.
I mean, people are bringing their kids to school, number one, and three, lower the speed limit. I mean, it's not going to go to 20, but say you kind of have to double your traffic.
No, I'm saying.
Right, so even if it goes to 25 or 30, you're increasing the traffic on Main Street because you're there to much longer because you've got so much more.
In the morning, you've got 30 miles an hour. You can't drive in.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. If you look over there at the junior high and how far the traffic is back up, it's if we lower the speed limit.
It's going to be the same. The speed limit is not a constraining factor anymore. Well,
so there's the 20-mile-an-hour zone right there in front of this junior high that's definitely the bottleneck thing. So people are slowing down.
I think we can recognize that people that want to drive faster, but some people would love 60 miles an hour on Main Street. I live on Main Street, I don't want that.
You don't want that.
I want it slower. I have kids and maybe you have kids and grandkids that we want to protect. But I think we can just agree that there are a number of people in our city that would like more safety, slower, more walkability. There are some that would also like, let's drive as fast as I can, wherever I can get. And our challenge is to make a judgment on what we plan for the future, which direction is it going.
Well, then let's ask a practical planning question about this. So you were saying, Tammy, that only the purple and the light should have blue reflections. Okay, so if you look at the 300 North Main Street, right there, if I'm a property owner on this side, why would I want to be involved? So right here, about the middle of the diagram, from that property owner, what's my incentive to do a redevelopment?
You're talking about the east or the west side of the street?
I'm looking at the west side.
Can you clarify what you're at?
Just like our east side.
From the southeast side?
So if someone is okay with it, there are no sidewalks around, I'm not about to do that, but to build a sidewalk so they can end at one end of the property and the other end of the property and not, you know. And so there's tools in place that where there needs to be some flexibility. So it's not really going to go and bulldoze and not move the bulldozer and not build that.
Let me qualify that. We are bulldozing that because we are saying this is your setback. So if you do any significant above the 30%, you're reconfiguring the entire property.
So let's use the Max Place as an example. The most recent building that was built on Main Street Court.
Yeah, he's right at the 10-foot.
He's right at that. At that total, so that's a setback. I mean, I think most of us look at that and think that's not that far back from the street. It's back.
Max Place. Max Place is at the 10-foot.
Which is on.
Or the 18-foot on it.
Or the 18-foot on it. It's 10-foot setback, and then you have 4-foot sidewalk, 4-foot.
He's right at the edge of the red rhythm.
The way that we wrote that is that would be the front edge of where you would go, or you could have more setback if you wanted.
But only for 15.
And the pit down again, which I believe is the building you but that's 9 feet behind the curb. Correct. 9 feet behind the sidewalk, which is.
It's you're right.
17 feet, not 18. So it's 1 foot, too close to the street.
And then another point I make is that I think one of the reasons I have felt really pressing to do this in place is we have just south of the building out here entirely ready to rebuild a whole block. And so I want us to be very careful to not yank, you know, we can adjust this as necessary, but make sure that we keep a really good solid plan in place for the entire block, which is the entry to this corridor and this area.
I think also the comments made by several residents, many of whom live either on Main Street or very close to Main Street, that are in the packet, they bring up some good points. You know, some of these things can be done, some of them can't, but there is a pretty strong feeling out there that we as commissioners can't necessarily weigh, but you as council persons can, that I think would be well to study a bit, because while we had a lot of negative comment when we were looking to rezone and the density issues and everything else, we have not, as a commission at least, seen a lot of negative comment about what we're planning on Main Street.
Well, we see for me a lot of surprisingly large amount of positive comment.
That's not necessarily what you're expecting. You expect people to come out and make up like something. It's unusual to see the number of people that we have submitted comments in support of I'd like to say about 5 minutes. Partially because, as you know, for many years I lived in Pine Place, but I was in the city council. And there were a few times when I'm so thankful when I found out we were having a meeting with you guys. I can remember one meeting or two meetings really strongly where somebody on the planning commission said, well, we know what the council did with that. They obviously didn't care what we thought. But I had been at the city council, and I heard what they had heard, and I thought, I'd like to go to that planning commissioner and say that this is all that was said in your meeting, but they heard this, and that's why they did it. So I felt like there was
almost a riff or almost a, so when I came in, I thought, you know, I'm the mother that wants everything to go along. So I was really, really glad when they said we could all talk together, because, so I'd like to throw out some things that I'm thinking that I've heard. And then I would like feedback from you guys to say, well, this is what, you know, I didn't know that, or this is why I think that's wrong, or this is why I feel that's right. I'd really like some feedback, and it'll only be about 5 minutes, so I'm not going to take up the whole thing. But first of all, I think you need to remember, because I keep hearing we're doing this for the future, but we're zoning, we're not doing a general plan. When you're changing the zone, my understanding is that means you're changing it for what's going to be built now, not, we're not looking 30 years into the future. So we need to think about what is going to be put on Main Street. I think if we're really honest and all fair about it, this whole plan came up when we decided to put mixed use on Main Street. You know, we thought there was a very slight chance we might get Libel, which would have helped our plan work. So, you know, we went to the property owners and we gave them a big incentive. We're going to let you build. An example was less than 3 acres. They could have got 84 townhomes. We really got the value of that property. So, we're going to give you this, but you are going to create a lot of people that are going to be out walking. So, we need you to be willing to do this so there's somewhere to go. But then we took that back. We, you know, we listened and they listened to the citizens and we took the density back. So now that same piece of property can only have 17 townhomes on it. So I think we need to look at, do we still have a walkable Main Street? I mean, are you going to go down and walk from Dr. Pitts over to Dr. Simons and stop and visit with the flying flag? Nobody knows who walks Main Street better than I do, because I don't know if you all know, but I work the corner down there.
So, I don't look up the youth list.
So I'm on the corner down there, and I can tell you, you know, there are a few joggers that come by, but I don't think they want to sit down on a park bench. We have our junior high school kids. I love my junior high school kids. I don't want them to get in trouble for damaging anything on their way to school. So that was one of my concerns. Do we really have a walkable Main Street? I had people from North Central say to me, why do you think this is our Main Street? We never even come down here. How many people from Bountiful drive through here to get to where they're going? Not many. Usually, you get off in Vernal and there's a little Main Street. You have to go down there Main Street to get in anywhere in the Vernal. But in the center of them, you come down on Parrish Lane. And then, you know, more than half turn and go on. This isn't their Main Street. They don't even drive it. So they're like, really? I'm not sure this is a Main Street. So that was one of the things I got. I listened with over half the landowners in the last 2 days. Then I was pretty upset when I told him that I was going through nothing. I got, Bruce Pitt told me that he had heard the big noise that had gone through the house of the peacock. So I said to him, how do you feel about it? They said, we have no incentive. When Bruce Pitt said that, he said, people sitting on a bench in front of my property isn't going to give me any more business. I mean, the dentists, the garage, I mean, they're like, that there's no incentive. It's not going to give us any more money. And we know the walkable isn't going to give us any more business. And you're not giving us the oodles of density or whatever we're going to get. So why should we have to put it? One of them actually said to me, no, it's true, not what he said. I run by one of you guys' houses every day. I want you as a city council to pass an ordinance, so I want a drinking fountain and get you by one of your houses. Don't tell them you're going to vote that. I'm going to call them and tell them to have a drinking fountain and dance. What's the difference? I can tell you, I talked to Brett Sessions, who owns Johnson. I talked to Bruce Pitt, who even felt legal challenges and said that he felt like it would cause a liability problem. that if you have the benches out and the branch breaks and then somebody sits on it, that creates a liability. He would want the city to sign a paper if he had to build that. He had no liability for any of that. He said, why should I have to build that? I talked to Ron Mendel. Probably you guys can guess the words he used, and he was definitely not paying for it. I talked to Michael's Garage, and it was Michael's Garage, and at my house next to his. He said he didn't want any park benches, he didn't want any flowers. Jim Sanderson, who could get the funding to Dennis Knowles, the Turnbulls, not one of them, not one of the landowners that you're going to pay for this, can see that there's any benefit left for them in life. So then the next thing was, I said, well, we want continuity. You know, when I heard this, some of the people that have called, some of the people that have sent messages said, we want it to look the same. We want to put some plans in now so it looks the same. Well, I totally agree with that. I'd like to see a little wider sidewalk for safety reasons. But do you realize continuity? The city building is the museum is exempt, the post office is exempt, and we can never force anything on the post office grounds. The house junior high would be exempt.
What do you mean exempt?
Okay. It's not. And you know, our plan right now would say they don't have to have.
We're not even on the private property. Other than trees, everything else is on the Park Street. It's public property.
If they rebuild and we have a requirement for a 5-foot sidewalk, then you have to put in the
sidewalk. 5-foot sidewalk. But do we have to put in the benches and things like that?
Which are right now, we were just talking about.
Single family homes are not continuity. And then when we build, we had 5 buildings in the last 10 years. So we put in the colored concrete, all of this stuff. So in 10 years, this is all we're trying to still build. We've got a new council on, and they're like, oh, that's a little outdated. We're going to change it. So I feel like we're not getting the continuity. I'd rather have it simplified.
It takes a long time. How long has staff been working on improving their Main Street?
But their Main Street's always been there, and they do have the business.
It has, but it wasn't very, it's taken 30 years to make it look fairly continuous, and it's still not, there's only a couple of blocks.
If you look at the arrow, there's 2 blocks that are contiguous with the same design. Right.
Anything else is password. But is this even our Main Street? I mean, we don't have anything here. By 8,000 Main Street.
So if we do nothing, we get exactly the same.
No, I think we do need something, and I think we need a plan. I'm just not sure, talking to the city staff, we're going to put flower pots there, where we're going to plow the snow in the flower pots. Do you realize the benches that you want us to sit on are only 18 inches off of Main Street? So we're talking about safety. But we're going to put a bench for somebody to sit if you really believe. Now, I call Tyler, talking to Neil Ridgely. Nobody knows of anyone that's ever been hit on the sidewalk in Saturday. They have had probably up to 5 either telephone poles or fire hydrants where somebody's got over a sidewalk and hit. But to say, I had one lady come and say, no, like, oh, by the time she went away, I thought, point was taking all the sidewalks out of center. But then when I got to thinking that she was so concerned about the safety, I thought, never has there been anybody hit by the sidewalk on Main Street. So it's not really that dangerous. If we widen it so that we have room to put the kids on their bikes and walking and things like that, I personally don't feel like it's safe where they're taking away the park strip. And running this net clear to the end of it. And then you've got your company, you've already got, like you said, Matt's place. The condos, you've got things that are never going to change. Cost. talking to different people, how much is this going to cost us over the next 50 years? And is it going to be used? Or is we only going to get a couple, as somebody said, you're only going to get a couple and it's going to go away. So you probably won't have that much maintenance on it because you're trying to build something that isn't there. Your walkable Main Street is perishing, but it's not stores, so it's really not walkable. Anyway, who's going to, I mean, how, if I live on 4 weeks, I'm not going to walk down to Main Street to walk to the dentist or the garage or things like that. So I'm worried about the continuity. I don't think it's going to happen. Worried about the cost. And I'm really worried about this business owner. But we're doing it, we've got to do it. Now I can tell you, this is going to be the budget. Well, we don't even have enough to take care of the streets and the sidewalks we already have. So I don't foresee the city having any money to do it. It would be great if we had the money and could come in and do it. But still, I'm not sure it would be used. I don't know who we think is going to use it. I sent some pictures to you. Did you get in front?
There's only a computer.
Okay. So this is kind of what we're talking about. We're going to run the sidewalk right to the curb. Then we're going to put in a flower box. We're going to put in a bench on this outside of this sidewalk. But it's going to go straight to the end. If you look at your paper on it, it goes right to the end. So I've got it, if it's playing, rollerskating, running, there's nothing in between there and the middle other than the benches and the flower boxes, but they're not already there.
That'll be a
bike lane. So then this is exactly what we're trying to avoid.
This is what we're creating.
Well, if you look at that, you're paving clear to the curb. But in the curb, we're going to have that whole park strip.
But the whole park strip isn't.
Only just every so often we have a bench or we have a flower. Okay, go to the next.
Every 50 feet.
Yeah, so here, where do you feel safe of walking down the one you just looked at? Or here, to me, there's, if my kid's on a bicycle, there's some grass, there's something that's going to keep them.
Robin, I think you're making the argument that the Planning Commission's made. They're trying to move it away from the street.
But the same, it's a different color concrete.
Are you looking at this?
No, where you have the visual is the
existing plan.
The top down, yeah, the AD.
Yeah, so it's the zoning.
I don't remember its name, but it's the top down view of the
Well, that's why we made the argument, yeah. When you have these things, you were listening, you looked at reliability and you have that memorandum from our attorney. With safety, you got said, maintaining those elements in the park strip will make it safer.
Lisa, is it in our online
code? Well, that's what we're
trying to do. One of the attachments on the
note. This stuff.
The park bench is up
down. Is it there?
You have to tell them where you're going to have to do it. And what we're trying to do it down there. It won't be so long.
Which document?
But the verb on the left, I don't care. Me personally, I don't care if it's
benches or plant boxes or, the point is, I hear this specific, okay, the council wants to change the specifics. The point is vertical elements do exactly what you're saying you should do, which is break that up. So, so for instance, right now, the deer height is, and if you sit and watch them, two deer, they want to walk us through the fence. And so there'll be three or four cross and that sidewalk that they're walking on way too narrow.
Right, and that's what I want to do.
So they also walk on that flat lawn and or over into the street on the curb.
Okay, and then they'll, they'll come in and around that point, or they will walk in the street around it.
But we have, we have a six foot sidewalk versus a four foot sidewalk and vertical elements between them.
I like the 6 foot sidewalk. I love the 6 foot sidewalk. I just don't see that.
You don't like the piece that goes to the road, so you'd rather have, you want constant green, are you opposed to variations, or are you just opposed to hard space that goes to the curb?
I would rather have hard space going through the curb. I would want the city to the grass. I don't like the soft grass at all.
I'm not a big fan of that either.
I don't like it. It looks like corn stalks to me. I don't think that.
But I can report how they said in the initial meeting that down. So then that would reduce that for the hours if we wanted everything. Well, and that's why occasionally you have.
Pyrocanthus.
Yeah, pyrocanthus.
Is that what everyone dug out like 10 years ago?
Where realistically do we think over the next 20 years somebody will actually adopt this and build it? What contiguous, you've got one lot here, where else is it going to be contiguous lot? And what's people's expectation for that? Because I'm looking at, I don't see a lot of incentive for a business owner to do anything.
We're going to process staff and staff. We're going to talk about
properties that are defined. And so I would really counter that. Yes, we did do that. But we did that with the assumption that the redevelopment had the incentive to it.
So
if it, you know, it's hard for staff to say where's the threshold that it drops below an incentive amount versus, but you know, still from staff's point of view, the guessing of in the next 5 to 10 years in that report was based on the incentive component.
Well, a lot of people are surprised that nobody on Main Street owns the ground news. I thought they knew when I first started out talking to them.
I'm very surprised because Bruce Pittman had talked about this another time. He knows that if he and O'Brien's developed that property, they would have to improve it. And he wants to make it nicer.
Bruce
Pitt
said he absolutely does not want to do this plan.
Well, I think that might be the way you presented it. When I talked to him, he said, I'm absolutely willing to do that if you'll let me develop. So I think I wondered how you present it.
If you think of him enough incentive, he let him put 84 townhomes over there. But he told me, and he said, I'll go to the training. I will have papers drawn up because I will not be responsible for it. I took this and gave it to, I took the space plan up. Anyway, I have the space plan, all right? And I took this screen and I said, I don't want to tell you any information. I want you to look at this. He'd already talked to some other people, said that he understood to a point. And he was, who's going to maintain it? Am I expected to maintain it? And then he said, and what about the other people around? If you're only going to do a $5,000 remodel job, and you've got to do this, are we making Main Street stay ugly because people won't upgrade just a little bit because they don't want to have to do this?
Go to Sunday evening. I don't think you can do it like that.
Well, no, but he's saying, Bruce Pitt was adamant that he wanted to come and talk.
Well, and what's the center to the elements in the perch there? Yes. So that, yes, one foot in, and then
who's like going to
resist it? Well, it's the city. It's not. And you have it up. I've read it. Did you read it in the library now?
Mm-hmm.
Did you get the impression, this would be expected for the
existing buildings? Absolutely not. I told him if you not for going down, rebuild it with a 30% change to your building. And I was very clear saying, you do not have to do this ahead. But none of you can see any reason for it. I mean, like you said, if you look at what we have on Main Street, we have a garage, we have guests, we have a fire department, we need more guests. And another guest, and then some condos, and we don't have anybody that's going to benefit from walking.
So there's no destination business if you walk to.
Yeah, there's no destination business that you would walk to. And will there ever be? I guess that's the question. But we're not really supposed to be looking, we're not making the general plan, saying we hope someday this happens. We're looking at maintaining the zoning for supposedly the people that are on it and own it, and they're saying, we don't want it, it won't help us.
So if we're worried about affordability, I can point out one more time that we have this big lot. We also have across the street on the west side, a property owner who plans to possibly redevelop his what I would also call a gateway property. And it's very much in the west of the old Dragon.
Quarter.
You're coming from residential to commercial. That's the change in zone. That's new look. When you go from residential to commercial, you want to.
I want a Centerville that looks nice.
I want to be proud. When I look at Gary's Cleaner, I'm not proud of this is the town I live in.
Right.
It's weird, it's run down. The question you might say is, do we want to improve our standards from what we have today, or do we want to allow exactly the same type of landscaping?
I don't think that's either or. I think there's some middle ground where we're not making this much of a financial and space burden on
I think we can make this point,
but they're already struggling with what they've already got. And so for the city to impose something on them that they feel like is not going to benefit them, that is going to cost them, is just adding insult to injury again.
So I'm afraid we're running out of time. Does anyone from the planning commission want to comment on the other item on our agenda, the sensitive lands?
I'll turn that over to Commissioner Johnson because I wasn't here.
So we also voted on the sensitive lands, and she would talk about about what the change in ordinance would be to be better than that country.
But just simply take the lands that you would perceive as having development constraints and subtracting them from the population.
And one of the definitions that added was federally, that's what that was quoted. It was federally designated wetlands, was one of the.
One of the sticky points that came up was simply. Wetlands is easy to call out because it's definable. The commission recognized that the HFOCA, which was maybe the synthesis of some of this, that was an easement, not a regulated wetland. So you run into problems when you try to say we're going to include easements when they're not physical constraints of the property itself, like a wetland would be.
Right. So it was an expansion of that to not allow what happened. A HFOCA would use what Scott Kirk called a ditch as open space and open space population. There's an effort to address that. And I am a very unique individual, and I didn't think the HFOCA was as bad as maybe it was made out to be. And I wasn't turned off by the use and calculation of their wetland, and so I voiced that opinion, and I was surprised that the vote carried in that direction. And on the video, Gina said, Logan might be right. I said, I don't know why I heard that.
So I also agree that the concern of the proposed situation spreading widely is overwhelming because it's really a very unique situation. My major concern would be how that applies to any of our hillside areas that right now could be developed. If there's an area, there's a spot reserved. More than 30%.
trying to figure out. So city council can set this up, is there any way to do that?
They addressed that issue, and they felt that the hillside ordinance with in boundary, right now, hillside in boundary properties, some of them felt the hillside ordinance would cover that sufficiently. That was 4.5 seconds.
Very good. So, county commissioners, I want you to know that even if the city council expresses strong opinions, I think I can appreciate it, you are appreciated. And